Our understanding of CN microorganisms, including detection, diagnosis, and optimal treatment. Discuss current strategies that will result in the new anti-infective therapies of tomorrow. Let's talk about identifying ongoing challenges in the treatment of infections in people with CF and discuss the potential impact of CFTR modulators on infections. اگر با انگلیسی صحبت میکنم چون تعدادم کم هست اگر خواستین چیزی رو من دوباره به فارسی توضیح بدم دستتون رو بالا کنیم من مکس میکنم به فارسی توضیح میدم. Let's look at this chart. This shows the microorganisms over time and you can see that it is change in the prevalence of microorganisms. The most prevalent right now is MSSA, which is a multi-sensitive, methicillin-sensitive staph aureus. And Pseudomonas has been decreasing, but still is prevalent organism. And the other infection is MRSA. Let's start by discussing a case. This is a 17-year-old male who has cystic fibrosis with pancreatic insufficiency. Sweat chloride is high at 115 and 118. And we have two known mutations, G542X and N1303K. In addition, he has moderate persistent asthma. Just to emphasize again, this is the infection control measures that we do in our clinics. Every patient has contact isolation. اگر نگاه کنین همه روپوش دارن، همه هم دستکش دستشون. اون بچه‌ای که اونجا هست، اون بچه سی اف هست. This is the list of the medications he's on. He's taking albuterol 3 to 4 times a day, hypertonic saline 7% twice a day, Pomazyme, which is Dornase alpha, once a day, chest physical therapy 3 to 4 times a day. In addition to chest physical therapy, he does exercise on a daily basis once a day. Colistin nebulization once every other month and Creon supplementation for his pancreatic insufficiency as well as ADEC supplementation. He's on Ensure supplementation for increasing caloric needs. For his allergies, he's on Flonase nasal spray, and for his asthma, he's on combination therapy of Symbicort and anticholinergic therapy of Spiriva. Just imagine how much time he's spending daily on this much medication. شما اگه نگاه کنید چند ساعت این بعد در روز برای درمانش در 3 ساعت حداقل کار انجام بده. And if you look at the graph, the one on your left, it shows the weight. The weight is pretty much stable. It's about, in the past three years, it's about 46, and in the most recent one, is about 44 kilograms. So relatively stable. But if you look at his weight, his lung function, started around 70%, and despite being compliant and doing all these therapies, his lung function dropped all the way to 30%. So this is very scary for an individual who is really compliant. Despite doing all the therapies, his lung function is decreasing. شما اگر این بچه باشه یا خانواده باشه، واقعا ترسناکه. با اینکه همه کارا رو انجام میده، lung functionش از 70% به 30% رسیده. So if you look at the non-tuberculous mycobacterium, in America, it has been increasing. And this is the graph. So that's non-tuberculous mycobacterium, and it's increasing in the last few years. And microbacterium abscesses. And microbacterium avium, they're both prevalent during early childhood. So what questions are emerging for treating infections in the era of CFTR modulators? And that's what we talked about yesterday, about CFTR modulators. The questions we are going to ask is what will happen to microbiology among individuals with established lung disease already infected, less severe lung disease and positive cultures, and those without documented infections. As we discussed yesterday, some individuals may not tolerate or respond to existing modulators. Every patient needs monitoring of microbiology to guide treatment, and we still need antimicrobials in order to manage all the challenges. اینم عکس نیویورک هست. شما در دانشگاه کلمبیا اینم رودخونه هاتسن هست در نیویورک. So what does the future look like? We know ivacaftor is highly effective for responding mutations. It was a godsend for those individuals with gating mutations. It really improved their lung function. Or combi, which is lumacaftor and ivacaftor, and simdeco, which is the tezacaftor and ivacaftor, provide therapy for about half of the individuals with homozygous delta F508. And in case of simdeco, it provides a treatment for those who have one copy of delta F508 and residual function mutation. Trikaftor, which was recently approved, which is a triple therapy, combination of elexacaftor, tezacaftor, and ivacaftor is highly effective, as we discussed yesterday, for people with only one copy of delta F508. And there are strategies underway to find treatments for those with rare mutations. In America, there are about 900 cases that's being diagnosed every year, and that number remains constant. And we know that people with CF are going to live longer, hopefully will have normal life expectancy within a few years. So we know that modulator therapy is predicted to dramatically change the course of cystic fibrosis. For people with mutations that do not respond to modulators, prevention of complications is critical. In همین case در ایران هست و تمام افرادی که modulator ندارن prevention complication خیلی مهم است. Nearly 40% of people on modulators will continue to need treatment for their complications. And treating and preventing cystic fibrosis complications remain among the highest priorities for the CF community. So treatment for a respiratory infection is a great concern, and inflammation remains the major cause of lung damage in cystic fibrosis. We reviewed this yesterday, but effect of CF modulators on population health. Today, more than half of the individuals are adults in America, which is a great achievement. Who would have thought about this about 30 years ago? About 40%, they have healthy lungs. So with the modulators, we're going to increase that portion. But there is another 40% who have decline in the lung function, and about 10% who have significant lung disease that they're waiting for lung transplant. So as the modulators are developing, the portion of the healthy lung, we are hoping to keep it healthy. But the portion that has lung damage is going to stay constant. So these are the individuals who need constant review and constant treatment. So what have we learned so far about the impact of CFTR modulators on CF microbiology? Restoring CFTR function is associated with decreased Pseudomonas aeruginosa. This was a study that was done by Steve Rowe and published in 2014. This was a study of children 6 years and older. They had G551D, which is a gating mutation, And if you look at the graph, this was the rate of this Pseudomonas before starting ivacaftor, which is about 50%. And then ivacaftor was started, and the rate of Pseudomonas decreased from 50s to the 30s. So there was a reduction in Pseudomonas at 6 months after treatment, and again at that remained at 12 months of treatment, which is a great news. Also, restoring CFTR function is associated with other microbiological changes. There's a, if you look at the graph, there's decrease in Pseudomonas aeruginosa. There's decrease in mucoid Pseudomonas. There's decrease in Aspergillus. But there is increase in Haemophilus influenza. The dark square is basically showing the treatments after, the rate after the treatments. Also, restoring CFTR function is associated with decreased density of Pseudomonas. This was a study in adult participants, again with G551D. So this graph shows that there is reduction in density of Pseudomonas over time, but it rebounds after 2 years. So this was the rate before starting modulators. It decreases initially, but it starts to come back. So there is a rebound after 2 years. Restoring CFTR function is associated with declining Pseudomonas prevalence. This was an observational study using the CF Foundation registry data to assess disease progression in the real-time world. So the gray is the ivacaftor and the treatment. So Pseudomonas decreased in those treated with ivacaftor and increased in the comparison group. So if you follow the trend, ivacaftor, those who were treated with ivacaftor start to have lower incidence of Pseudomonas. But the mechanism is still unclear to us, whether ivacaftor mediator increases in mucociliary clearance or if there is some immune factor that's responsible for this mechanism, or there are other mechanisms that so far is unknown to us. This was another study that shows restoring CFTR function is associated with fewer new infections with CF pathogens. They looked at two time frames, 2008 to 2011, before coming of CFTR modulators, and they compared that to the 3 years after the CFTR modulators, 2012 to 2015. So that's the time frame that they were comparing to, and they looked at two groups, group A, who weren't on any CFTR modulator, group B, who were using the CFTR modulator. And what they found was that new infection with MSSA, MRSA, and Pseudomonas, and you can see that there was a reduction in the rates of infection. So somewhere, 49% went down to 34%, and 52 to 29. There is a reduction in rate of infection in the two groups. So starting modulators, it changes the microbiology of your airways in a good way. Then the CF Foundation approached both the clinician and the community. So community is highlighted in purple and the clinician in white. And they asked them, what's important to you? And both groups, their number one concern was respiratory microorganism detection and treatment. Everyone wanted to address this issue, both the community, that means the parents and patients, and the clinicians. Then there were other concerns, and they had different rates, mental health, reducing treatment burden, and so forth. And GI symptoms is down. This is the family group, that's since we are talking about GI today. Their concern was 44% versus the clinician, it was 28%. So we're going to update you on the results of ongoing work to improve our understanding of CF microorganism, including detection, diagnosis, and optimal treatment. So let's talk about history of Pseudomonas aeruginosa acquisition. So at birth, usually they don't have Pseudomonas, they have Staph aureus. Then at some point in their life, between 2 to 5 years of age, then they start to have the intermittent infection. That's the first time they're going to get the Pseudomonas infection. Then at some point, that intermittent infection becomes a chronic infection. Pseudomonas will change from non-mucoid to mucoid organism. And the treatment we start is different. So with the intermittent infection, we try to eradicate, because as we reduce the infection, we reduce inflammation and we reduce lung damage. Pseudomonas infection is related to decline in lung function. Whenever they get pulmonary exacerbations, we're going to treat them according for that pulmonary exacerbation. And at some point when they get chronic infection, we're going to use alternate month suppressive therapy to reduce the amount of infection. We need to understand that CF lung is a complex microbiological ecology. Unique growth conditions, available nutrients, and metabolism can affect the activity of antibiotics. And these interactions may impact progression of cystic fibrosis, response to therapy, and clinical outcomes. Also, Pseudomonas aeruginosa biofilm enhanced by RSV co-infection. And these are some of the proposals for that mechanism. It could be because dysregulation of host immunity. Normally, the host sequesters iron, and we're going to talk about this later. RSV infection induces release of iron-bound transferrin by airway epithelial cells mediated by interferon. And if there is more iron, then there will be increased biofilm growth. Let's talk about optimizing the current treatment that we are doing today. This is the optimized trial that our center, Columbia, was one of the participating sites. So the research was whether we add Zithromax to the tobramycin, is there going to be a detrimental effect or a beneficial effect? So they added azithromycin to inhaled tobramycin at the first incidence of detection of Pseudomonas. And as you can see in this graph, this is a follow-up time. This is the rate of exacerbation-free. And there is a clear difference. This was placebo. This was the treatment arm with Zithromax. There was a reduction in exacerbation in children undergoing eradication of Pseudomonas. So the azithromycin group had 44% reduction in exacerbation. It was significant enough that we stopped the study before finishing it. And there was 1.2 kilogram weight gain in the treatment arm, and there was no impact on microbiology. This is another trial that we are participating. As clinicians, we don't know to treat the patient for 10 days, 14 days, 21 days. Usually, we treat them for 14 days. But this study wants to see what's the optimum day of antibiotic treatment. So they came, everyone who was admitted for IV therapy, they divided them into early responders, and the early responders, they divided them between 10 days of therapy or 14 days of therapy. And then the other group was delayed responders. And for that, they divided them into 14 days of therapy and 21 days therapy. And they followed them for another 2 weeks. and they wanted to see. This is an ongoing study, but that would help us to see what's the optimum days of therapy for IV treatment. Another topic that we were dealing with is improving the management of non-tuberculous mycobacterium. And this was a study that was actually started in Denver by Jack Nichols. And this was an observational study. They wanted, because we know that non-tuberculous mycobacterium can be transient or it can remain indolent, but also it can accelerate progression of lung disease. And this was an international effort. And what we wanted to do is standardize the treatment and come with consensus guidelines. So they divided it into two groups. One is the PREDICT study. So that was a prospective evaluation on NTM disease in cystic fibrosis. And the initial conclusion is 42%, almost half of PREDICT subjects, met criteria for NTM disease after a median of 5 months. And participants in this study had significant lower FEV1 at enrollment, and they had significant and rapid decline in FEV1. The other group was prospective algorithm for treatment of NTM and cystic fibrosis, and they called it patients. So anyone was ready for treatment, they changed it from the previous arm into this arm. And the inclusion was age 7 years or older. They had to have a documented MAC or M abscesses, and it was the judgment of CF physician to put them into this treatment arm. And the initial conclusion was improved culture conversion rates compared to the historic rate, which can be partly because this was optimizing CF care. It's like any study, when you put them into the arm, whether into any asthma study, as soon as you put them into any study, their condition is going to improve because they're being followed much closely. So these studies provide framework for future investigations. They standardize approach to diagnosis different disease-causing microorganism, and they serve as a comparator arm for investigating new treatment approaches. So we need to evaluate long-term antimicrobial use. So it is important to revisit long-term impact of drug that we're using chronically. For example, all these drugs that we're using, it can damage your hearing or it can damage your kidney function. And the side effects are accumulative. Also, they can have inadvertent drug interactions, intolerance, and toxicity. We may aim to only target single microorganism, but these drugs may impact other microorganisms. And it could improve care through improving personalized care. And that's how CFTR modulators are coming, and we have personalized care. We talked about this during the question and answer yesterday. Is there an antagonism between azithromycin and tobramycin? So this was a trial that was started initially, and it was found, if you look at the two arms, this is the tobramycin. They wanted to see if azithromycin affects tobramycin. And this is different than the optimized study. These are the patients who had chronic Pseudomonas infection. This is tobramycin. This is Casten on azithromycin. This is tobramycin. This is Casten on no Zithromax. You can see there is a clear difference. Whenever tobramycin is given with Zithromax, there is reduction in effect. When there is no Zithromax, there is no reduction in tobramycin in comparison to K-stent. This effect was not seen in aztreonam nebulization. So these are some of the plausible explanation that azithromycin upgraded MEXXY efflux pump, and this was a central mechanism of inducible aminoglycoside resistance. Also, both aminoglycosides and macrolide antibiotics target the bacterial ribosome, and this could be reducing the effect of antimicrobial of tobramycin. And this was a trial, that initiated the clinical trial that we call it testing for effect of adding chronic azithromycin. They call it TEACH study. And this is ongoing. It should be finished in a couple of months. So current strategies that will result in the new anti-infective therapies of tomorrow. So what are some of the approaches to develop new therapies? So we can alter existing agents to become inhaled agents. For example, itraconazole for ABPA, we can use them as inhaled, or vancomycin. Again, it was brought up yesterday. And we can use inhaled tobramycin for MRSA. This is an ongoing trial. It should be finished in a few months. Also, we can repurpose drugs used for non-infectious condition with unique mechanism of action. For example, gallium for Pseudomonas and others, which replaces iron in bacteria. Or calcium EDTA for several pathogens and biofilm. They sequester magnesium, calcium, zinc, and iron. Also inhaled nitrous oxide for Pseudomonas and NTM for smooth muscle relaxant. Also GM CSF for non-tuberculosis mycobacterium. It stimulates white blood cell production. So what's the mechanism of gallium that can be effective for Pseudomonas treatment? So bacteria, we know, uses iron for DNA synthesis. So it's an oxidative stress response. It's very, gallium and iron are same size. So what we're doing is fooling bacteria to use gallium instead of iron. So proof of concept, they use this study, and it shows that in 20 adults, by using gallium, there was increase in lung function, and this was statistically significant. So what are future questions for treating infections with increasing access to CFTR modulators? So we want to know if CFTR modulators are used prior to infection, will people remain infection-free? Will infection occur later? Will emerging pathogens become problematic? This is all new era that no one can answer, and with the new CFTR modulator. Our current treatment paradigm can totally change. And because of that, we are going to do PROMISE study. It's a 2-year study, it's an observational study, and the objective is to look at the impact of these CFTR modulator on lung function, sweat chloride, symptoms, and BMI. And there is sub-studies that would look at microbiology, inflammation, and GI issues. And there is also a biobank for future studies. But in order to do this, مخصوصاً برای ایران خیلی مهمه. Please do not forget the basics of infection control guidelines, because none of this makes sense if you don't do infection control. I reviewed this yesterday. I'm going to emphasize it again today. Infection control is a must. So contact precautions for all CF patients, regardless of pathogen status. Masks used by patients in common areas in health care setting. A minimum of 6 feet, so that means about 2 meters distance between patients. And you need to audit the cleansing and disinfection of environmental surfaces. When you do lung function testing, you should follow one of these settings. In the exam room at the beginning of the clinic visit, in a negative pressure, in a PFD lab with HEPA filter. If your lab doesn't have a HEPA filter, there should be a lapse time of 30 minutes between the two CF patients. Only one, and I emphasize this, only one person with CF should attend any camp or educational retreat. فقط یه مریض CF میتونه در هر در داخل